Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Geography Island Jams. My guest for this episode is Cynthia Eniardi. Cynthia has just completed her degree in BA Geography, which included a final year dissertation, which was on how tradition, kinship, and status negotiated in the burial decisions of Indibo in the West. Cynthia was familiar with London before coming to the LSE, as she was born at Stoke Newington and grew up in Hertfordshire. Whilst at the LSE, Cynthia was involved in the Women in Business Society, where she took on the roles of Head of External Partnerships and Treasurer, as well as the Alternative Career Society, where she took on the role as Vice President. In addition to getting involved in societies, Cynthia volunteered with Widening Participation and also worked in the Finance Department for the Students' Union. Outside of the LSE, Cynthia has been involved in a variety of teaching and mentoring projects. The organisations include Reach Out, Teach First and Envision. As well as directly volunteering with the charity Envision, Cynthia is also a board member for the charity and has fundraised for the organisation by completing a 250-mile cycle across the UK. Lastly, while Cynthia's skills and passions seem to lie in geography and mentoring, she has proven she also has an above-basic technical know-how, as she once managed to bring her Henry Hoover back to life by rewiring it herself. So welcome, Cynthia.
Hiya.
First, I wanted to ask about you rewiring the Henry Hoover. So how did you come about putting your electrical knowledge to the test?
Desperation, really. We needed a Hoover, couldn't afford a new Hoover. And so a few evenings in the kitchen with a lot of oil all over my hands, but it's sort of worked for 2 years at least. So hopefully it won't explode on the new tenants.
But wow. And was that via YouTube video, or how did you know how to fix it up?
Do you know what? It's actually the only YouTube comment I ever left was to this middle-aged man being like, thank you so much, you've saved our whole flat. But yeah.
Found it hard enough to change the Hoover bag, let alone rewire the whole thing.
Yeah, well, since I'm still clinging to it 2 years later, so definitely one of my highest achievements, I'd say.
So my next question, do you remember when you first started thinking about doing BA Geography?
I don't know if I remember the moment, but I just remember a very long period of me thinking, if I'm not going to study geography, I'm not going to go to university. So it was kind of all or nothing for me.
And did you have a favourite topic?
I have never been a physical geography kind of girl. I think like since coasts in year 9, I have always hated. I won't say hated, not really gotten along with physical geography. So I knew that I was gonna do human, and so ended up at LSE because I was searching for where I had the least amount of physical geography that I would have to do.
And can you tell me a bit more about your dissertation? So what was it about and what did you find?
So my dissertation kind of, I guess everyone goes through it, but like I was turning up to my academic advisor every other month being like, I've completely changed my idea, by the way, and I'm already halfway through with it, so I'm not going back. But yeah, it ended up being, so my dad is Igbo from Nigeria, so I knew that I kind of wanted to do something within the community here in London. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do it about. I'm really interested in political geography as well. So thinking about how people create homes through like political activity. And then I guess just the way things go, I ended up having lots of conversations with all of the people I was interviewing about what they were planning to do when they were retiring. And, you know, do they want to stay with their kids and grandkids and whatever. And then this topic of transnational burial decision kind of came up. And I don't know, I think it was one of those things that snowballed, and the more I read, the more I became interested in it. and then ended up finishing it. And even now thinking it's something I would really like to explore a bit further, because I guess now especially, and unfortunately, it's very relevant for a lot of people. But yeah, that's it.
Can you now tell me about the first song you'll be taking with you?
The first song I will be taking with me, also this was a very difficult exercise for me, but the first one that popped into my head when you told me about it was Underneath the Stars by Mariah Carey. One of those songs that I feel like I can just put on repeat throughout the day and keep singing along.
Next, do you have any favourite experiences from your time at the LSE?
I'll skip over Cuba because I feel like that's kind of an obvious one. Obviously, Cuba was amazing. Really nice to like get together with everyone.
What about, if we talk about Cuba quickly, do you have a favourite experience from Cuba?
A favourite experience from Cuba? I think for sure it would have to be at the, I can't even remember what the club was called, but front of the crowd with Miss Emma Sowden singing along to some Tina Turner, going all out and then turning around and just seeing on the balcony Ryan Centner, all the other lecturers just looking down at us and being like, do you know what? I'm not even gonna care. It's fine. But I don't know. It would be hard to pick a single best experience. But yeah, just a really good week. Some work was done. A lot of sunbathing was also done. But yeah.
And then did you have one separate, like one from the whole LSE experience put together?
The whole LSE experience put together. I don't know if I could think of one. It would probably be like an impromptu Bill's trip between lectures where everyone's a bit miserable and they're like, let's just spend an ungodly amount of money on some sort of decent pancakes. Yeah.
What about, do you have any favourite places from around the LSE?
It's got to be some of the hidden nooks in towers where you finally find a seat to sit in after searching around campus for like 45 minutes. And then around campus, I don't know, there's a lot of nice little like cafes around the back there and around Lincoln's Inn that I really enjoyed. And a lot of other geographers had put me onto small spots where you can like relax when the weather's nice. But yeah.
And then we're now moving on to your second song. Can you tell me what it is and if there's any reasons why?
My second song, Best of My Love by The Emotions. I feel like I am very into 60s, 70s, going into the 80s music. And I was really struggling to find one that I could pick out of all of the many. And this one is just one of those songs that I feel like really, no matter how miserable you feel or the weather is or whatever, like it's always a bit of a pick-me-up. So yeah, it's my good mood song, I'd say.
So you were born in Stoke Newington and grew up in Hertfordshire. How long did you live in Stoke Newington for, or was it very brief?
So I was in Stoke Newington for a few years growing up. And then when I started primary school, we moved out to Hertfordshire, and then I came back to North London for my sixth form. So in and out a little bit.
So you really did, it was growing up between the two.
Yeah. And we had like family still in London. Most of my dad's friends are in London. So it was definitely between the two.
Do you have any funny or mischievous stories from your time growing up?
I probably have quite a few funny or mischievous stories. It probably would have been with my siblings, me and my siblings doing something that we weren't supposed to be doing. I'm sure this isn't the worst thing I've done, but it's just, I was telling someone it the other day. I used to have to go to karate classes. I don't know why, I feel like there was that phase of everyone forcing their kids to go to karate, and I hated it and I wasn't good at it. And so I just remember one day my sister pulling me into the bathroom, and she had like one of those Barbie makeup kits that are like utter rubbish and only chemicals. And we covered our eyes in like black and purple eyeshadow, went downstairs to my mum, and we were like, we've got black eyes, we can't go to karate. I'm really sorry, like, it's the black eyes, like, what can we do? And she was literally like, wipe that off your face. How would you have even got black eyes? Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's others, but too many to think of right now, I think.
No, for sure. That is a fun one. What about, what is the most beautiful place you've been to?
Ooh. So I went on holiday with my sister and a friend of hers to Croatia, in one of the small islands where there's like you and five other people there, called Miljet, I think. And it was just completely silent. Like, you would never see anyone else there. We just had our bikes and we would cycle in and around. And I think there was just something nice also about feeling like you're the only people there and taking it easy, doing whatever you want, walking around. Yeah, so probably there. I personally feel like also London is very beautiful, but I think a lot of people would argue with me on that.
What parts of London would you say? So what is that you think makes London beautiful?
I exclusively rep North London, northeast-ish, so I would have to say there. There's a few spots in and around Broccoli and South London I also really like, but I think until I visited other cities, I didn't realise how many green spaces were in London, and so that's something I really appreciate. And especially over quarantine with the people I was living with, we made like a kind of a project of going and visiting all the different parks in London and saw some really amazing stuff along the way.
And then we are now moving on to your third song. Can you tell me what it is and if there's any reasons why?
So my third song, I feel, is going to be a bit of an outlier, but it is Take Over the Breaks Over by Fall Out Boy. And I felt like I had to have something in there for those ragey days where you like, yeah, I don't know. It's under my playlist of year 8 angst. So definitely when I'm in those moods, I kind of want to have some Fall Out Boy to listen to.
So whilst you're at LSE, you're involved in the Women in Business and Alternative Career Societies.
Yeah.
Do you have any favourite moments from when you're running the societies or anything you remember the most?
I guess from Women in Business, I maybe don't have a particular favourite moment, but just like, I think through Women in Business is when I first really started to feel like I was part of the LSE community, and there were so many really lovely women who were on the committee with me who I got to meet and hang out with. And then they all graduated and left me. But it's, yeah, they were really lovely and still speak to them from time to time. So that's nice. Alternative careers, probably, I don't know. Alternative careers was something that Zara was president while I was vice president. And obviously we're really good friends. So it was kind of nice to be able to like have your vision, and it was a very small committee too. We'd taken over from Gook, who's another geographer, and so it was nice to kind of have your vision and be able to have the independence to do it, and putting on some really cool events. So my highlight from Alternative Careers was probably Wine and Design, which is when we all got a little bit of wine and designed our own tote bags.
What do you think are the biggest challenges you had in the societies?
I think probably actually it was more just remembering that I was supposed to be at university, like, and do academic work, because I think with anything, like, I'm sure you know as well, when you get into these extracurricular stuff at university, it's easy to forget that, like, oh, I can't go to this meeting because I have a lecture or I have a deadline and et cetera, et cetera. And so that was probably the biggest struggle, was like balancing it and reminding myself to prioritize my academics when the other stuff was more fun.
Fabulous. Can you now tell me about the fourth song you'll be taking with you?
The fourth song I'll be taking with me is XS by Rina Sawayama. I don't know, it's just one of those songs that really like pumps me up. And I don't know when this album came out, but I know that when this album came out, I was just listening to it on repeat for like 3 weeks. So yeah, that one. It makes me feel very cool when I listen to it. And like, I could drive and I can't drive, but it makes me wish I could drive.
No, I know, there's songs for sure that you just feel like you should be doing something like cool and independent, but.
Yeah, like I should be in a convertible, sunglasses, like, I don't know. Won't be my reality anytime soon, but I can wish.
So next, can you tell me a bit more about what you did with Widening Participation? So what did you do when you were you working for them or volunteering?
So I was a mixture. Some of it was paid, some of it was unpaid. So I started out doing their mentoring program, where I was paired with some year 10s and I mentored them for like a year. And I think just through that opportunity, I got to know the Widening Participation team a little bit better. And they have like so much stuff going on all throughout the year. And like a lot of it is relatively easy to get involved with. As long as you're interested and like willing to commit the time, then they will usually find something that you can help with. And so I started with that. And then they have this really, really cool Promoting Potential Easter School that then has some top-up days later in the year for Black year 8 boys. And I don't know, I think like that really, I think actually that opportunity is what then really got me involved with actively, like proactively looking at what Widening Participation were doing, just because it was also a really nice opportunity to meet other people at LSE who weren't doing geography, who weren't involved in the societies that I was involved with, but who had like similar passions and similar interests. So I really enjoyed that. And then, so I helped out with that for a couple of years, for two of the years, and then also helped run the Black Achievement Conference and helped out with some of the Insight Days. But I just think, like, I always think it's really cute seeing like young students on campus. So that was also really nice. And like seeing the university through their eyes, because obviously I was finding it a little bit boring or a little bit normal.
And why do you think the work Widening Participation does is so important?
I think in general that when it comes to university, it's very much a case of what you see, what you perceive as being achievable. And so if you have never been exposed to university or university students, even if you're an incredibly academically talented person, you may never apply for the universities that have the courses that are best for you and that are really well suited to you. And so I think Widening Participation is really good because it creates those spaces for young people to see that other side of things. And even with like year 7s and year 8s, even though I've said that, you know, they're not thinking about applying right now, even just making it seem attainable, and, you know, university students aren't very different and a lot of them have similar backgrounds. Like, it's not this super intimidating thing. And so I think making it seem less intimidating is a really important thing that Widening Participation does, especially in London, because I think even though if you look at LSE, you know, we're in the centre of London, there's so many schools that are not so far away, but a lot of those kids are never going to go to LSE because there's not the connections between the schools and the pupils and the university.
Fabulous. Can you now tell me about the fifth song you'll be taking with you?
The fifth song I will be taking with me is probably Hulk Hogan by Wretch 32 and Avelino. It's kind of similar similar but different to my Fall Out Boy one, which is when I need a hype song that I can like rap along to and really get into my head. It feels, it's also one of my workout songs. Like, I don't know, I feel like I've picked all of my songs for a certain mood, and Hulk Hogan is my hype song.
So you also did teaching and mentoring projects outside of the LSE. Am I right in thinking you're most involved with the charity Envision?
Yeah, yeah. So they worked with me when I was in year 12. So I went to a school in Islington. And then I got involved with the board and have just been there ever since. I imagine I will be there forever. I don't know. But yeah. It's a really cool opportunity to be on their board and then also help run the youth board with year 13s who have just finished the Envision program, and just kind of seeing, I think particularly now, so the program Envision's like year-long program just finished and we've had all the graduations over Zoom, and I think particularly now it has been really, really amazing to see like these year 12 students who could right now, and I imagine many of them do, feel like super helpless and super like no one's listening to their voices, and there's all these people making decisions that aren't in their best interest, and actually they've created their own social action projects and they've made these huge changes within their communities and reached out to like thousands of people, and I find that super inspiring to see. And so that's why I stay there every year. And just thinking, because I was a bit of a lazy teenager at the time, and just thinking like, I wish I'd been like these people. Yeah.
What is it Envision does?
So they have a program for Key Stage 4, Key Stage 5 pupils, where they support these pupils to create their own social action project. So some of them this year, I mean, every year, there's always ones about mental health and always ones about knife crime, because I think that's what students in London really care about. But this year it was really amazing. There was one about like trying to tackle inequality in exclusions and like the exclusion system. There was one about like the prison system and inequality in the prison system in the UK. Body image stuff, social media usage, bullying, like, it's kind of crazy to see these 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, like, tackling issues that even now, like, my friends and people older aren't super aware of and don't know how they can have any impact. But yeah, really cool.
Can you tell me more about your 250-mile cycle ride?
I would actually rather never ever think or speak about it again. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrendous. Like,
how did you end up today? Did you do any cycling before, or was it just on a whim? Like, how did you?
I spent all of like the first half of first year training, cycling around London, going down to like Richmond Park. There was about 20 of us riding, and so we would do practice rides to the countryside, whatever, all preparing for this 3-day ride, which was around June or whenever, in first year. And it was all for charity, so I was also raising money alongside like doing the training. Yeah, so we went up to Birmingham. I don't know if I've just blocked out this whole experience. I can't remember how we went. Oh yeah, we got the train up to Birmingham, cycled from Birmingham to Bristol, and then from Bristol to London. So we were super lucky because the partner of one of the women who works at a charity does like he plans the cycle routes for Greenwich, I think. So he had planned out a very nice cycle for us, but still, like, me and another of the riders were a bit younger, in our early 20s, and the rest of the cyclists were a little bit older. And I was just very arrogant in thinking that, like, oh, because I'm young, I'm like totally fit and I can do this. And we were in the at the back of the last group for the entire 3 days. It was a little bit embarrassing, actually. But yeah, oh no, it was all worth it. We managed to raise like £120,000. So it was,
wow.
In hindsight, it was worth it. But every year they come back and they're like, hey, do you want to do this again? And I'm like, no, never. Don't put me on a bike ever again.
So what do you think the hardest part? Do you think it's just the endurance, or do you think was it hard avoiding the cars?
No, it was, I mean, we weren't even on the roads for like a huge amount of it. We had like a very scenic route. I just wasn't, like, my body just wasn't up for it, I think. Like, I hadn't done the training, or I don't know. It was, but probably actually it was mentally more than anything. And like, you wake up every day being like, okay, I now have to cycle 90 miles today. How am I going to do that? And just the misery of that being the first thought that you wake up to. But I don't know, it was good. Like, it was a really lovely group of us, so they all kept me going.
Can you now tell me about the sixth song you'll be taking with you?
The sixth song that I'm taking with me would probably be Love Supreme by Now or NAO. I don't know how I say Now, but people have clowned me for that, so I'm not sure. I think if I was, you know, deserted on an island, I'd be feeling pretty miserable. So most of these songs are like my upbeat, good mood songs, and that's one of them. And also it lets me test out how high I can sing. So probably not my family's favourite songs, but yeah.
Next question. Do you have any pet peeves? Anything which bothers you way more than anything else?
So I hate scary films. Like, I don't watch actually anything that isn't a rom-com. I'm probably not going to watch. Or what I'll do is if I have to watch a film that I haven't seen before, I'll usually like read the plot on Wikipedia first and completely ruin it for myself. And so my pet peeve is a lot of my friends pressure me into watching scary films, and that's probably my pet peeve. And so I get pulled along to like these horrific films in the cinema, and I just sit there like on the brink of tears for 2 hours and then can't sleep for a week. So, and if my friends listen to this, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because in those instances I do read the plot first before going.
No, that's so funny. No, I think I'm on your boat with that one. I've never really got behind scary films.
I just don't get it. Like, why would I want to make myself scared or sad?
Yeah, and you're right. Like, it doesn't just end when the film's over. You've got that going, yeah, at least the next few days, if not longer.
Yeah. No, I have like 5 films that I probably watch on rotation, and I know that they'll make me feel good. And if you want me to go outside of that zone, I need some time to think about it and consider.
Can you now tell me about the seventh song you're going to be taking with you?
The seventh song that I will be taking with me, and this was like very contested, and I'm still looking at my list like, do I really want to go with this? But I think it would probably be Chet Baker, Autumn in New York. Just because I think there's always a good time for an instrumental, just as a little soundtrack to life. And like, yeah, I don't know. It's just another thing that puts me in a good mood, I think. Nice to walk to, nice to relax to. If I'm on my own on a desert island, maybe I just want to have my own thoughts. I don't know. Maybe I'll get sick of it and regret that decision.
Moving on to the last few questions now. Do you have a personality trait you're most proud of or grateful for?
I think I'm quite a relaxed person, I think. And I know that there are certain people who are going to be like, that is the biggest lie I've ever heard. But I think generally I'm quite a relaxed person. I don't like, if things go wrong, I don't tend to freak out. I just kind of take it in my stride and keep on. So I think that's what I'm grateful for. That like, I don't get stressed very easily. However, I would say that when I do get stressed, it all starts to fall apart very quickly. But yeah, as LSE has seen many, many times.
And what's your favourite thing about being at the LSE?
My favourite thing... I mean, partly for sure is like being in London. Like, I can't imagine, definitely not in the UK. I can't imagine living anywhere else. Like, it's my favourite city by far. But LSE, I don't know, probably the geography department is my favourite thing. Like, really lovely people, really lovely staff and lecturers and everyone. So yeah, definitely the department has been my favourite thing throughout.
Can you now tell me about your eighth and final song?
My eighth and final song would probably be Be Your Girl by Kate Renata. There's a big theme throughout this. This is also like one of my party songs. Like, it reminds me a lot of summer and like cider, which I'm sure I'll be like begging for if I'm stuck in a situation. Yeah, just another good mood song for me.
So moving on to the final part now. So you're allowed to take with you the Bible, the beverage report, and a book of your choice. What book are you going to want to take with you?
I would take with me probably this book of like short stories called ID Identity, which is like loads of short stories written by African authors. And I feel like I get bored very quickly. And so one book wouldn't really do it for me. So I've tried to cheat the system a little bit and bring like an anthology of sorts.
Well, if it's a book, I guess it counts.
Yeah.
Well done for winning the game. And what about the luxury item?
I really struggled with the luxury item, but if I'm being like true to myself and not, you know, putting on a front for the podcast, it would probably be SPF 50. Like, that's just sun cream. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you've got to protect the skin. I really don't have anything more interesting than that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's your luxury. If that's going to make you happy on the island, you know, you've got to go for it.
Yeah.
Fair. Well, Cynthia, thank you very much for telling me about your Geography Island jams.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me.